Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masachet Menachot Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. About to take a look at the 8th Mishnah in this, the 10th Perek. And continuing on with the theme of Smicha, Hakol Somchin, meaning anybody does a Smicha, all people do Smicha, Chutz Mechereish Oteva Katan Mesuma. So the triumvirate of halachic incompetence, which is Chereish Oteva Katan, and also a Suma, a blind person does not do Smicha, we'll have to see why. Ve Goy Veha Eved, non-Jew, slave, Hashaliach Veha Isha. Now, the question is, does Aisha mean a woman or does Aisha mean a wife? And we'll see how that plays out. Usmicha shi are mitzvah. Smicha is, shall we say, the tails of the mitzvah in the sense that it is not indispensable, and if one does not perform smicha, the korban is still valid. Al harosh v'shtei yadayim. You do smicha on the head of the animal with both hands. Kom shesomachin shochtin. You do smicha at the same location. Do shchita. And the reason for that is tekef l'smicha shchita. I tied those two together as per the Gemara that we'll see in a few moments. Smicha has to be followed immediately by shchita. This follows the tekef l'netila suda, tekef l'netila bracha. The Gemara Brachot mentions it along with this as another tekef, which means as soon as you wash my achronim, you have to say brachat amazon. And take if l'tamidei chachamim bracha, the famous connection of the pasuk from Lavan's statement to Yaakov. In any case, we understand that the deaf mute, the imbecile, and the minor cannot do smicha. They just don't have da'at. Goy nami, why? Because b'nei Yisrael somchin. The Torah begins, tabel b'nei Yisrael ratalehem, ishki akrimi kem, etc. And v'samachat yado. So it's only b'nei Yisrael v'en ha'goyim somchin. Why can a blind man not do smicha? And we have a machloket as far as the source. Because one of the places where smicha is mentioned explicitly is in the context of the Beit Din, Par Halam Davishol Tzibor, and the Ziknei Eida are referred to as Einei Ha'Eida, one of the sources which we know that a blind man may not serve on the Beit Din HaGadol. That you know that we know that when you bring the Olat Re'iyah on Chag, you have to do smicha on it. However, that's going to be a little bit of a problem because what's the source of that is not explicit in Olat Re'iyah. And we also know the Sugyan Masechet Chagigah towards the beginning that a Suma is Patur Mi Re'iyah because the Torah says Shalosh Pamim Hashana Yeira'eh, and the way that it's understood is Kishem Sheba Leira'ot Kach Ba Lir'ot. Just like a person that comes to be seen by God, he also comes to see God, which is how we know that a Suma is exempt from Re'iyah, from Aliyah L'Regel. Now, Ulamanda Amar Me'olat Re'iyah, my Tavol Le'alif means Ziknei Da. So why does the one who infers it from Olat Re'iyah not infer it from Ziknei Da? The answer is Danin Yachid Me'achid, and Danin Yachid Meit Tzibur. He'd rather learn it from another Korban Yachid. Ulamanda Le'alif means Ziknei Da, my Tavol Le'alif means Olat Re'iyah. So it's very simple. Danin Midirachti Be'smicha Begufa, Midirachti Be'smicha Begufa, because you want to learn it from something where smicha is expressly written, and explicitly written, such as Par Halam Davishol Tzibur, Lafuke Olat Re'iyah, Di Gufa Me'olat Nava Gemara. That the Torah never tells us in the context of Olat Re'iyah that you have to do smicha, and we infer it from Olat Nedava, the first parsha in Vayikra, the Tana Tana Kamed Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, the Tana taught, Vayakrev Ata Olav Yasek Mishpat, referring to Aharon on the day of the Miluim, the Olat, Miluim, that which is what is Vayaseh Kamishpat, he did it according to the law. Kamishpat Olat Nedava, he did it like the law of Olat Nedava, which we learn at the beginning of Vayikra. We mean Olat Chova Shetuna Svicha. That's how we know that Olat Chova needs it. So that authority would rather infer the exemption for a blind man from a place where Svicha is written explicitly, such as Par Halam Davishol Tzibur. Okay, Hayavad Vashaliach Vayisha Tan Rabbanan. Yado, smachet yado, there's three mentions of yado here, velo yada avdo, as I say, this is all from one mention of smachet yado rosh korbanot, the beginning of Yikra, yado velo yada avdo, it has to be his hand, not his slave's hand, Vlachdukho can't be his agent's hand. Velo Yad Ishto, it can't be his wife's hand. And here we say that Isha is not an issue of a woman not being able to do it, but a wife on behalf of her husband. So really, it's one word, Yado, and it says it has to be your own hand. It can't be an agent of yours. And we telescope out. So we scope it in, starting from the external, which is Avdo, to Shlucho, to Ishto. And we'll see why. Kol Hani Mamali, what do I need these three mentions for? Tzricha. Ikata Rachman Achad, if the Torah only mentioned it once, meaning if the Torah only excluded once, an Eved is not Chayav Mitzvot, so of course he can't do Smicha, but Shaliach Dvar Mitzvahu, but a Shaliach, who's another fellow Jew, who's Chayav Mitzvot, and we could employ the notion of Shlichut, and he is my extension of me, so Eimel Lismoch, perhaps he could do Smicha for me. V'yashvin and Hanitarti, if I have those two, Dlav Kigufei Damya, they're not, a Shaliach might be Kigu, Shluchot Shalal Kimoto, but he's not, in a sense, a shared person with me. Aval Ishto Kigufei Damya, we employ the principle, chiefly in the context of Edut, that Ishto Kigufo Damya, that a wife is like a person himself, so Eimel Tismoch, perhaps she could do Smicha for her husband, the answer is that she cannot. And therefore, tzricha, we need all three. Now, smicha shiare mitzvah. Now, Tan Rabbanan, samach de dorosh kovan, omen etzalo lechaper alav. You put, do smicha, and it's accepted. Chi smicha mechaper, does that create it? Imagine this, a person brings a korban, does smicha, and walks away. And that's the end of it. He hasn't brought a korban, so what kind of kapara is there? Valo in kapara elavidam. You always need dam for kapara, shnevarkei adam hu banefeshi chaper. Meaning, zrikat adam, elamar lachashim asa'ali smicha shiare mitzvah. It means that if you treated smicha as if it's insignificant and didn't do it, but didn't do it again because of an attitude, ma'alel akatuv ki'il lo kiper, it's as if you didn't get kapara, but the reality is v'chiper, in the reality is you did. Now, atanya gabne tnufa ki agavnu, we have a parallel bebraita in the context of tnufa. L'tnufa l'chaper, this is the korbanot of the mitzora, to lift it up in order to be m'chaper. V'chitnufa m'chaper, v'loim l'kapara l'vedam, t'ra v'adam l'vashachaper, v'chashim asal l'tnufa shere mitzvah, v'alav katuv ki lo kiper, v'kiper. So tnufa is also shere mitzvah, and the Torah words it in such a way that you, kind of gives you the impression or the feeling that if you didn't do it, you would be missing something and you wouldn't have full kapara, but the reality is that you do. Now, smicha l'harosh. Tana Rabbanan, Yado al Harosh. What does that mean? Here it really is one sentence. Velo Yado al Tzavar, not on the neck. Yado al Harosh, Velo Yado al Gabayim, or on the back. Yado al Harosh, Velo Yado al Chazer, or on the chest. Kol Ani Lameli, what are all these three statements for? So, Yichidika Darachman Achadim Ute Tzavar, Lo Kai Bahadi Rosho. I would understand, because the neck is below where the head is. But the back, the Kaila Hadi Rosho, it's on the same plane as the head, Amalo, maybe as long as you put your hands on something which is on the highest part of the animal, the way that it's standing, maybe it's good. Tzricha. Vyashmin and Haitre, if I have those two, Mishum Deloitrabi the Tnufa. Neither the neck nor the back are used in Tnufa, waving parts of the animal. Chazed, you drop it at Nufa. Think about this. When you bring a Shlamim and you give the Chazed Vashok, you wave the Chazed. You know, it's after Shchit, of course. So perhaps, that would be okay for Smicha also. Tzricha. What about the side of the head? Toshma, Netanya, Ababi, Rabber, Belozum, Nyakum, Yadol, Rosho, Velo Yadol, Tzadin. Not on the sides. What if you have a towel or something that is on the head when you put your hands on it? Meaning, your hands on a towel that's on the head. You have to do smicha al rosho, and you can't have smicha, you can't have a chatzitza, see directly on the head. Okay, uvishtei adayim has to have both hands. Menahani mili, how do you know both hands? Because the Torah says yado. In the context of the Sir Mishtalech, it says that Aaron puts both of his hands, but it's written, Yadav is written, and I put the ketiv in there, Yod Dalad Vav, without the extra Yod. Ketiv Yado Uchtiv Shtei. It says his hand, but it says two. So Zebana Av. This is a binyan Av. Now, Koma Kom Shremar Yado, anytime the Torah says hand, Hare Kan Shtoyim. So very cleverly, the Torah writes Yado, and pronounce it Yadav. And so it's as if we were saying shtei yado, both of his hand. And he says, therefore, the Torah is teaching that anytime it says yado in the singular, That means two. Until the Torah explicitly says one. That's something that we dealt with in the context of the matanot for a chatat, that the yad has to be the right hand, etc. That's ba. Azar Balazar Amra Lahashmata Bimirash. So Balazar heard this from Rish Lakish. He repeated in the Beit Midrash, Flom Ramish made to Rish Lakish. He didn't mention that Rish Lakish was the author. He took credit for it himself. Sham Rish Lakish Ikpid. Rish Lakish is upset. So he decided to get Rabbelezer. So he comes to Rabbelezer in the Beit Midrash and treats him publicly as if it was really Rabbelezer's statement, and he takes it apart. He says, you think that every time the Torah says Yado, it means two? So Yadav, Yadav. So why would the Torah ever have to say Yadav? For instance, actually, Yadav. He brought 24 examples where the Torah says Yadav, or Tanakh says Yadav, which, of course, according to what Rebbe Lazar presented, which is really taken from Rish Lakish, the Torah wouldn't have to write that. Just say Yado. For instance, Yadav Tiviana in the context of a Shlamim, or Yadav Ravlo in the context, and Yadav Tiviana, by the way, is not about Smicha. It's actually about the Tnufa of a Shlamim. Yadav Ravlo in the Hashem's Bracha for Yehuda. Moshe's bracha at the end of his life to Shevet Yehudah. Sikelet Yadav in describing Yaakov switching his hands around in the bracha to Menashen Ephraim. So Ishtik or Elazar had no answer. Levata denach date, after everything calmed down, Amarle, Maitama lotemeli Yadav de smicha kamri. So, Rish Lakish turned to Rabbi Elazar and said, why didn't you answer that the drasha that you stole from me was only about smicha? The three psukim that I quoted, one of them is narrative, one of them is bracha, and one of them is about something that's not smicha. So perhaps my statement was only about smicha. The answer was bispicha namikti, vayismochet yadav alav etzaveu. Even when Moshe did smicha in the hands of Yoshua, it also said yadav in the plural, which means that even in smicha the rule doesn't hold. Which means that Rabbi Elazar was sort of flummoxed here. He quoted Rish Lakish, then Rish Lakish proved to him that the entire binyanav didn't work. The answer is it does work. Smicha de behema kamri, what I was referring to, Rish Lakish, in the drasha that you took, was smicha of an animal, smicha for a korban. And there, indeed, every time it says yado, it does mean yadav, and that leads us to the halacha in our Mishnah, which is, you always have to have both hands on the animal. Okay, makom shesomchin shochtin, we do, this I already alluded to in translating the Mishnah, in the place where you do smicha, you do shchita, my kamar, what's the Mishnah saying? Hachikamar, makom samchin shochtin. Why should take off the smicha shchita? Since immediately after doing smicha, you have to do shchita, not only without an interruption, but the two have to be conjoined acts, one immediately after the other. Therefore, you have to do the smicha in the location where shchita is happening, which means that the Yisrael has to come in his Ezrat Yisrael. If it's a non-kohen doing smicha, it's a non-kohen's korban, and he has to be standing in the Ezrat Yisrael on the north side and put his hands out and do smicha, and right at that spot to do shchita. Okay, chom v'smicha b'betnufa. The last Mishnah identifies ways in which smicha has more demands than tnufa, u'v'tnufa b'smicha, and in which tnufa has more demands than smicha. Why? She'achad meinif l'chol ha'chaverim. In the case, smicha has a chumrah, and that is if partners bring a korban, one person can do the tnufa for all of them. V'einachal, let's say they bring shlamim together. One of them can do the tnufa of the chazev shok with the kohen for all of them. V'einachal somech l'chol ha'chavirim. But tzmicha, each one of them has to do it, as we saw several times. Korbano l'rabot kol ba'alei chovrin l'smicha. Chomer b'tnufa, what's the stringency of tnufa? Sh'atnufa noegim korbanot ha'yachid v'korbanot ha'tzibur. Tnufa applies to both korban yachid and korban tzibur. Of course, this is not really a good chumrah because, as we saw in the previous sugya, there is smicha on korbanot tzibur, two of them or three of them. But here it is, b'chaim uv'shchutin. Tnufa does apply to dead parts of the animal, chazav shok, as well as the live animals like the asham etzora, where you have tnufa of the korban before it's killed. Tufa also applies to a mincha, like the mincha ta'omer is lifted up. Smicha only applies while alive. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Korbano, we have this already. Rabot kobale korban mismicha. She'achol valodinu ma tufa shnab tabishchutin ma tabichovrin. It's similar to the kalvachomer that we saw with Rabbi Shimon's three mitzvot. And here's the kalvachomer. Knufa, which applies even to Shchutin, but Ninmata B'Chovrin, but does not apply to all the partners. Only one partner has to do Tnufa. Smicha, Shalom Tabta B'Shchutin, Odin Shin Titmait B'Chovrin, that Smicha, which does not apply to any time after an animal's been killed, certainly should not apply to all the partners. That only one of the partners should have to do smicha on behalf of all of them. Talmud Lomar korbano. Therefore, it says korbano labod kobali korban lesmicha. His korban, meaning if you're an owner of the korban, you got to do smicha. So now flip it. B'titrabet tnufa b'chovrin mikal v'chomer. Now you should say that all member partners in a korban should have to do tnufa as well. Umas smicha shlen trabta b'shchutin trabta b'chovrin. So kal v'chomer from smicha. The answer is simply mishum d'alav shah. There's no way to do it. Why? Hechi lavin lin fukulu adadadadi. You want them all to hold on at the same time. Do tnufa kavi chatzitza. Then you have a chatzitza between the guy's hand and the animal, which is the other guy's hand. Linif lehadav linif. Do you want to have multiple tnufot where each guy lifts it up? Tnufa marachmanav lo tnufot. The Torah said lift it up as a tnufa, not tnufot. Only one time. So there's simply a logistic block preventing all the chaverim from doing tnufa. You do not have that problem with smicha because there is no limitation of doing multiple smichot. Now, what ends up being the framework here is that smicha is truly an issue of ownership, meaning as an owner of the korban, I have to do smicha. And tnufa is an issue of process. This korban requires tnufa. Who? The kohen along with the owner. Multiple owners, any owner can do it, as long as the korban has a tnufa. Okay, usmicha b'shchutin leita, and that's why, as we saw in earlier perek, if you have a korban where the person sent the korban from a distance, then tnufa is done just by the kohen. Okay, usmicha b'shchutin leita, there is no smicha in the context of shchutin, which we built our kal v'chomer on. If a kohen gadol wants to throw some evarim upon the mizbeach, he can do so. What happens? He would go up, and the skan would be on the ramp, and the skan would be on his right hand. When he would get halfway up, the skan would grab something that was going up with his right hand and take it up. And the first guy would give him Harosh for Haregel, the head and the foot of the animal, the right foot. So Mechal Lehen V'Zorkan, the Kohen Gadol would do smicha on these parts and throw them on the fire. Hoshita Shenila Rishon Shtei Adayim, the second guy would hand up the two forearms of the animal. Nonola Kohen Gadol, so Mechal Lehen V'Zorkan, he would do smicha again. Shvata Sheni V'Holach, the second guy would walk away. Chachi Moshetin Lo Shar Kol Avreim, so everybody, they'd keep handing him the parts of the animal. So Mechal Lehen V'Zorkan, he'd do smicha on them and throw them up. Uvizmanshu rotzeh, if the Kohen Gadol wants, who's somech lachrim zorkin? He could do smicha and then have somebody else throw it up. Let's say he's not that strong, or doesn't want to throw it on the fire. He could do smicha up there on the ramp and they'll throw it on. Which means you see that smicha is performed even on dead animals. So, Amar Abaye, Abaye's answer is hatam shuk for the Kohen Gadol. That's not really formal smicha. It's not the normal smicha that we're talking about, but rather it's an act of an opportunity given to the Kohen Gadol to increase his honor here, that he's sort of stepping in and taking ownership of the korban. But that is not formal smicha. Smicha only happens while the animal is alive. Hadran alach shtei midot. We have successfully completed our study of the 10th parak, and now we rejoin the Mishnayot in the proper order and begin the 11th parak in the next podcast, Shtei Halechem. We will compare and contrast the process of preparing the Shtei Halechem with the Lechem HaPanim, and that'll be in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.